Hello and welcome to That's Hockey Talk. I'm your host, Nick Marotta, joined as always by our Canadian pal, north of the border friend, Gumpy. Gumpy, how you doing?
Great. How we doing?
We're doing fucking great because the good news is, you know, the third wheel, the squeaky wheel, the biggest one, makes the show go, is back. AQ Shipley, Super Bowl champion. AQ, how you doing,
baby,
buddy?
AQ.
Great to be back, boys. Great to be back off a 10-day bender. Life is good. Life is living well. Here we go. Let's talk a little hockey.
I'm so proud of you. Happy for you. You work so hard. You're such a good guy. And all these accomplishments and things you've achieved, you deserve every single one of them. Great shirt you're wearing, raise the flags. What have you been doing other than boozing your face off now in the past couple of days? Have you managed to watch any games at all?
Yeah, I've been watching. The Penguins stink.
Yeah, we'll get
Capitals,
to that.
Capitals went like this, then they went, oh boy.
Like that.
Clearly.
Like
then
that, as
that,
your phone
crashed
crashes.
And burned. And then they went back up because they played the Penguins because they stink. And then seen a few highlights. McDavid looks like the best player on earth. Boston looks unbeatable. They're doing drills last night. They're in the second intermission. I've never seen. I mean, they're doing bull in the ring playing hockey. I don't know what's happening up there. But yeah, so I've caught a few highlights. Things are good.
So let's just get right into this here with the whole Lake Tahoe thing coming up. How do you feel about this? Are you excited to watch these games? Obviously, there's no fans. We feel like. We talked about this on Pat Show. We feel like the NHL did the best thing they could where if you are going to play an outdoor game where you can't have fans, get out of the stadiums, go do something unique. They're going to put these games on the Edgewood Country Club. You're a big, huge golf guy. What do you think about it? They're building the rink now as we speak. The games are going to be Colorado and Vegas are going to play the Bridgestone NHL Outdoor Saturday, 3 p.m., and then the Bruins and Flyers are going to be in the Honda NHL Outdoor Sunday, 3 p.m., I think those are on the 20th of February, around that time, that weekend. It should be pretty good. It looks the scenic backdrop of the lake, the mountains, the trees, the snow. It looks fucking awesome. You pumped up for this?
I love it. I mean, anything you can do to change it up. I'll be the first to say now that our season's over, it was the weirdest year I've ever been a part of. I mean, you go into stadiums and you can hear the hits. You can hear literally quarterbacks talking to receivers talking. I mean, you can hear everything. You can, communication was clear as day that you guys are getting on TV. Cause it's, you know, they're pumping in that noise. It makes it feel like a real game. And I mean, we're playing New Orleans at New Orleans in a playoff game. And it's, I mean, it's dead quiet. It is the eeriest, weirdest thing in the world. So anything you can do in any sporting event to give these guys something to just a step above feeling like it's a practice, right? It gives them that little bit of an edge. Right. And so, I think what they're doing is the right thing. I think the sponsorships, as many purists probably hate it, I think it's a way to generate money. So I think that's a great thing, adding whatever little sponsorship on it. So I think the NHL is trying to do it the right way.
Yeah, the sponsorship thing, I think that got a lot of people pissed off early on. But now it's kind of like everybody realizes, like, this is what it is. There's no getting out of this. There's no – the pandemic's not going away. Yeah, we've got the vaccines being passed around here and there. But it's still affecting the bottom line. So you just got to sell everything you can. I always say it's a slippery slope, though. Once this starts – you've cracked the door open now, and it's not going to end. Like, they're saying the stickers on the helmets and on the glass are make good, and eventually it's going to be on the uniforms. We all know it. You know, there's no
English
reason.
Premier League, right? I mean, that's
yeah,
what's be
every
like,
other sport's
be
doing
plastered
it.
All over.
There's no reason to fight it. You see it in – you guys are wearing them on your practice unis, am I right, in football? So
yep.
It's only a matter of time, and you might as well just embrace it because you can't fight it. There's literally nothing you as the common man can do. Yeah, it might look ugly, but I think they'll find ways to tweak it here and there. I don't even notice the helmet stickers anymore. Do you guys? Like, when I watch a game, it's the last thing on my mind. It's like, ew, those look so ugly.
The only thing that you notice is really the banners that are in the stands. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you're used to seeing people there.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Like, I don't take two glances at the helmet. Except for Vegas's fucking gold ones.
Those were atrocious.
Those things are electric.
Did you see those, Q? I don't know. This was like right during the Super Bowl.
24
yeah.
karat gold plated, it looked like, right? I mean, it was wild.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You're Vegas. You're flashy. You want to show off a little bit. But that was a little much. It's like I felt like we could have dulled them down and still got the point across. Speaking of Vegas, let's talk about this now. Marc-Andre Fleury has been a hot topic lately for the entire NHL because of his play, but especially for Penguins fans because they want him back bad because Tristan Jarry has not lived up to expectations this season. Casey DeSmith has battled as a backup, but he's just, you know, there's only so much you can do, and people still feel like this is a team to contend. I'm saying they're a playoff team. I don't know if they're championship caliber team, but they definitely need a boost in goal, whether that comes from Jarry eventually playing better, which he has lately. He's played a little bit better, just a little bit. But I don't think Vegas is letting Fleury go, and I think that whole reunion dream needs to get flushed out down the toilet, because even if Vegas was willing to move Fleury, I think a lot of teams would be trying to get his services right now because there's not a lot of great goaltending play right now in the league. This is from Elliot Friedman's article. The average save percentage right now in the league is 906. That's the worst the league has had since 2006-2007, the season right after the lockout when all the scoring was juiced because all the penalties were called, the red line came back, everything like that. So you look at it like Fleury, Grubauer, Vasilevsky, Pekarinen, Tukaras, those are kind of like the top guys right now, and everyone else is kind of falling in line behind them. It's not like we're seeing this like dynamic play of goalies from all these teams. It feels like we're getting a lot of goals, we're getting a lot of speed, we're getting a lot of skill, and a lot of rust. It feels like it's really showing that these guys didn't get in a proper offseason. They didn't get in a proper training camp. They didn't get in their exhibition games. And the regular season's just kind of beating these guys up right now. They're just seeing a lot of rubber that they can't stop right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can attest to it, obviously, in our sport. I mean, you heard plenty of guys from our team, including coaches, come on Pat's show and say, we're still 7-8 weeks away from playing our best football, right, at the end of the day. So I think without the offseason, with the rushed kind of turnaround, you know, it's going to take a while for these guys to get their footing. And then I think what's not getting enough talk is only the division games, right? Like you're playing Washington 8 times. I mean, you have to adjust on the fly because they're going to adjust. And it's a lot quicker adjustments instead of seeing a team twice now and then twice more 2.5 months down the road, right? Or whatever it might be, right? So I think, you know, you see these teams on back-to-back nights numerous times, you know, sometimes, you know, 4 times in a month, you know, it's, you're going to have to constantly make adjustments because they're going to make adjustments. So it's going to be a constant chess match. I think coaching is going to be more important than ever this year.
And to just pile on with all that, then you look at all the rescheduling that's had to happen. They just released the announcement the NHL PR did about the games that are being rescheduled. That list is like a mile long. There's so many games that they're looking to reschedule. There's no possible way for teams to get into a rhythm having to battle through that. You're seeing if I have to watch another Blues and Coyotes game, I'm going to blow my brains out.
The Coyotes, dude?
I love the Coyotes. You know, AQ, Arizona guy, you know, we love the Oats here, but like, they've already played a 7-game series this season. I can't do it. I can't watch another Coyotes Blues game. I just can't do it. So the scheduling conflict has been a real issue. And when you need good goaltending to advance in these playoffs, you need two good goalies, at least two. Now you're seeing, sometimes you're seeing teams roll through three. You need to have these guys. Vegas has no incentive to move Fleury with how good he's playing, unless they were, you know, trying to rebuild or something. But they're not. They're contenders right now. They're one of the best teams in the league. So they got this duo of Leonard and Fleury. And right now, Fleury's outplaying Leonard. So they've got no incentive to let him go. I don't see any situation where he returns to Pittsburgh or goes anywhere else for that matter, unless he forces his way out because of that drama that happened with his agent and the organization and the bubble. But he's still got 1 year left on his deal after this season. I think the only thing he's going to maneuver and protect himself about is saving himself from expansion to Seattle. I think that's the only thing you might see Fleury move, because I don't think he's going to want to move out of there. So I just think it's a tough situation for Pittsburgh, but they got to play their way through it. Of course, we talked last week about the new GM and new president, Brian Burke. You didn't get a chance to address that. You have any feelings one way or the other on that?
No, I know. I mean, there's not much you can do. I mean, they're strapped cap wise. They're strapped with the no trade clause with Letang. They're strapped with, you know, their big money guys, right? And then I think there's guys on the bottom six that aren't NHL players. So I don't know what you're gonna do. I mean, I don't know how they're gonna get better. I don't know how you're gonna get different guys in here. They're gonna have quite a job to try and make this a better team. Obviously, you need better goaltending, which will improve the team for sure. But I think there's a couple guys on this team that aren't even NHL caliber players.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm comparing it to other teams and I want to get to the next point with this, is you see a couple other teams in this situation where, and I think of Nashville specifically, where they were in the cup final with the Penguins a couple of years ago, and you look at their team now, and there's talent on the roster. Like, they're still, when you look at it, should still be a good team, but they're kind of just floundering. And right now, I'm looking at the standings. They are at the NHL Discover Central Division. They're seventh out of eight, and only Detroit is below them. And they've battled this season in games against Detroit. Detroit's beat them once, I'm pretty sure. So you look at Nashville, too. That's another situation. Like, in this shortened season where every game matters, okay, and you're already down deep in the standings here, I'm looking at Nashville. They're 8 points behind Chicago for that fourth place in the wild, or in that playoff spot. What do you do this season? Do you just decide to sell and whatever the trade deadline is, or do you try and just ride this out, hunker down, say, okay, we did the shortened season, let's wait till the off season to retool? I know you don't want to do anything too drastic, but I'm looking at this as, if I'm Nashville, I'm looking at this as a chance to shed some contracts and give some younger guys some playing time and kind of come back stronger and regroup for next year, you know, because I just don't think this is a situation where you want to buy and try and chase something, because I think it's going to be insurmountable here pretty soon with the way the game, with the way the schedule's been changed and how many games they're going to have to play and how many nights.
I just don't see their being able to do it. You know what I mean?
Like the Stars, they had a tough start. Or no, they had a hot start, and then they've kind of fallen on tough times since. Like, they've only got 12 games played here, 14 points. They're a ways out. You know, there's some games in hand, obviously, but, like, what are they going to do?
It's just, you're kind of handcuffed by everything that's going on with the league, too, right? Like, I don't think you're going to see player swaps like you have in the past with what's going on.
No, I don't think you can. And, AQ, you can kind of attest to that, too. Like, the NFL, like, the protocols I'm sure you guys had to go through were ridiculous, and the NHL's figuring that out now, that they didn't do a good enough job initially, because we're seeing all these games get canceled, all these players get infected, that they're going to have to rechange and retool. They've already taken the glass out of the back of the bench to improve the airflow and try and increase some ventilation, and now they're saying that in doing so, they're losing more ad money because they had ads on the glass. So it's like you lose one battle, then you're getting kicked in the teeth again because you're getting money taken out of your pocket. It's a real problem. Like, you trade a player to Canada, and they have to quarantine for, what, for like 14 days almost? Is that what Dubois and then Laine, that situation? They had to battle through that. So it's like, I think you can't make too many drastic changes this season, even in a situation like the Penguins, where they get the new GM and the new president. But, like, I don't think they're going to be able to make a bunch of trades and fix the team immediately. I think you're just going to have to ride it out with what you got. Maybe you make a tweak or two, a one trade or two, but you can't just overhaul roster in the middle of this shortened season. You gotta ride with your guys and hope they figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about kind of how, you know, their situations working with the code, but I know with us, like, I thought before the season started, I thought it would be a benefit to older veterans kind of who have been around the block, and you could plug and play them. And then it almost hurt them. It almost hurt them worse because, you know, you're sitting here and it's like, okay, cool. If you want to bring them in on a Tuesday, now they got to go through a 5-day protocol. They're missing that week and the week after. So are you really going to do that? Right. And so hockey, there's much more games closer together. So you're going to end up missing two or three games, maybe even longer than that, depending on what their protocol is. And, you know, it's going to be quite an interesting year of all sports, just kind of, you know, fine tuning the COVID protocols. And I know with ours, it started with a 3-day thing early in the season, and then it went to a 5-day thing. And by the end of it, I think it was like a 7-day thing. So, you know, they just keep getting longer and longer as the more information they get. And so, it's going to be interesting. The teams are going to have to, I mean, this is unbelievable. The fact that I can't.
If you're not, AQ's phone just keeps falling down while he's talking. What do you have this on?
I mean,
on?
It is unbelievable.
What is this held up by? Like, Play-Doh? Like, what do you have this on? What are you holding it on?
I feel like it was a good idea. It's my wife's little high up little keyboard thing, and it's clearly it's not the best idea. Clearly.
Well, here. Well,
I think we're good.
To the point we were just talking about, teams getting out of rhythm and players having to miss because of COVID, like Mitt back there, who's running the cameras for us and running the audio. You have become an Avalanche fan recently because of the fans of the show voted on it. The good people at Twitter voted for you to become an Avs fan. So you were watching the game last night where they beat Vegas. Like, and this is Colorado recently came back from missing some games. How did they look? Your mic's off, Mitt.
Jeez. Fucking talk.
Give him a break. Give him a break. Mitt. He's doing literally three jobs at once back there.
All right, mislabeled. That was mislabeled on the Switcher thing. But I was thinking about it. The Avalanche, they really need some more goal scorers. McKinnon and
more goal scorers.
Okay,
Mitch?
Jesus,
okay, so,
dude,
they're loaded. Right.
Where'd you find this guy?
Okay, so from maybe it's just the rust, and maybe it's I just don't know enough players on the team. But McKinnon and Saad, they can't really just carry the load. Only fucking 3 goals the last 2 games, like shit.
Yeah, they did get shut out, didn't they, 2 games ago?
Dude, I'll tell you what though, that Phil dude, Philip,
yeah, they stink.
He stands on his damn head in the net.
Grubauer.
He is amazing. He is my favorite player to watch.
He's having a good season. He was one of the goalies I mentioned that was carrying the load for the team because it's interesting to see how these teams get affected when they come back from COVID. Like some teams don't seem to miss a beat. Like you saw, I don't know if you guys saw last night, the Devils came back and beat the Rangers 4-2. Like the Devils were flying and they looked top notch for a team that wasn't supposed to really compete this year. They've battled, you know, they're not going to win anything, but you know, they're making it interesting. And then you look at other teams come back, like Buffalo, who missed a bunch of time, they come back and lay an egg. So like, did you guys have anyone on the roster who had COVID and came back? Cause like it apparently is a real deal. Like it's affecting players with the lungs and the breathing and the conditioning.
Yeah. So we had quite a few guys actually, and quite a few guys that were, don't even start with this video stuff. We'll get this ironed out in the next couple weeks. I promise. we did. We had a couple guys and a couple really key players that missed a week or two and came back and didn't miss a beat. For instance, Devin White, who might have been the best player on the field in the Super Bowl. I think he missed the first playoff game. He missed the last game of the regular season. Missed the first playoff game. Comes back against the Saints. Kills it against the Saints, kills it against Green Bay, and has a monster game in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, it's such a weird little thing. It's, you know, it affects some people to astronomic levels, right? And then
yeah, I mean, it's affecting everyone
it's
differently.
Just a head cold.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it's not fair. You know, if your team is playing well and then they get stricken and taken out, like, there's not much you can do about it. Everybody's dealing with it. So that's the only fair part about it is that everybody has to go through it. It's just to what degree it affects you and how it affects the team. Another thing with this and all the rescheduling the movement, Chris Johnson, NHL reporter, longtime guy, he said this. There's a buffer of 7 to 10 days before the playoffs begin. Those are kind of the days and weeks that the NHL can fall back on if they need to make up more games as we miss things moving forward. But if that's not enough, Elliot Freeman said, you wonder if the game doesn't end up doing, if they don't end up doing what the MLB did and they just scrap some of the meaningless games. And then, you know, you're also looking at percentages, win percentages as a playoff indicator. Like, there's no good solution here. So how upset can you be as a fan if they turn to the win percentage? Like, there has to be a minimum games played, obviously. You have to be within a certain amount of games played for the win percentage. But you could see a team or two miss out and kind of, quote-unquote, get screwed because they have more points or something like that, but they don't have the win percentage of a lower team. So it's going to be – that's something to keep an eye on as we get closer to. But the other thing is, like, with how many teams have gone through COVID already – are we past it now?
Well, like, we're going to get to a point where you're going to know that a lot of these teams just stink, right?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
There's like a few you could say that about,
like,
Ottawa.
Like, it feels like there's a few that are very, very bad that if their games get wiped out, nobody will care.
Yeah, but and then I point to New Jersey as the example that, like, how good or bad of a team is New Jersey?
Yeah.
Like, you look at them on paper, you're like, they're not that good at all. But they made some additions in the offseason. And the way they've played this year, they've played much better than in years past. But they still only have 5 wins and 3 losses. You know what I mean? And they got 12 points. But then you look at, like, Pittsburgh, who's played 14 games, and they only have 3 more points than Jersey. So it's like, it's infuriating as a fan because you could be making a run and you could be trying to get that future experience for some young guys and kind of build your culture and start letting these guys see what it's like to win and what it takes. And they might miss out on it.
I mean, the Sharks have played 2 games at home all year.
That's insane to me. It's like,
the fuck?
You got no shot. You just have no shot and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's like, and the other concern too, I think, and it was the concern we had as well, is how serious will teams that are no chance in another 10 games of making the playoffs, how serious will they continue to take the COVID protocols? How serious will they continue to, you know, go to work and go home and not do anything, right? And then you start getting to the case where now that team is playing a contender and now that game's wiped out, or now it's postponed again. And now you start getting into all different set of scheduling things. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this works, especially with the multiple games. I mean, we were fortunate in our sport where it's one game a week and you can kind of, you can kind of work around those, you know, logistical nightmares, right? With this one, you know, especially if you're playing a home and home, or you're playing a back to back or whatever it is, it's like now that whole thing gets wiped out and then you got to figure out how to do it later. So they had a lot more logistical situations to deal with, and, you know, obviously concerns of teams that, you know, are out of it in another 10 games, right?
You got it. You got teams that have played 18 games and teams that have played 8 games. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I will say, at least from a betting standpoint, Gumpy and I have been betting on a few of these games, me much more so than Gumpy, and like it's infuriating too to try and figure out, like, there's no rhythm. Like, teams are struggling to put win streaks together. Like, I'm looking right now, Carolina, I think right now, has won 3 in a row, and they have the longest streak in the league currently, active, I should say. So it's like, you never know what you're going to get every night, to your point about keeping the competitiveness and the balance. Like, I think the league's been able to do a good job of that so far. I think everyone thought, at least I did, and I think everyone else shared this opinion, is that Ottawa was going to be a doormat for everybody. But then you watch the other night, and they come back from 5 goals down, 5-1, and score 5 unanswered and beat the Leafs 6-5. Like, I think everyone just assumed Ottawa was going to be another shit show this year, but they've shown, like, hey, we're not giving up. You know, we're doing the thing. We're following the protocols. They haven't been, like, Canada has had the best run of anybody, the whole Canadian division, Gumby, to your guys' credit. You guys are looking out for each other, pal.
It's been locked down. Like, the outbreaks haven't been that bad there, low in general. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just got to keep watching another one, Canucks and Calgary.
Oh,
they play
Canucks.
Each other. It feels like they play each other every night because of the reschedule.
This is like fucking Russia and Canada. We're in like an 8-game series right now. Take us back to the fucking 70s, dude.
And then both of those teams are like, they're bubble teams on the outside of the playoffs looking in right now, because Calgary's at 17 points, Vancouver's got 15, and they're chasing Edmonton and Winnipeg. And Winnipeg started slow, but they've turned it on since.
I stand by what I've said with the Canucks. I think they way outplayed who they are in that bubble.
Yeah, last year.
And the expectations were far too high, especially losing Markstrom and net.
And Tanev on the back end.
I mean, the expectations of what this team was going to be was just too much. And I think right now this is who they really are. I don't think people are talking about, you know, get rid of Travis Green maybe. I don't think that's the answer. I think he is a good coach. He coached in the minors with a lot of these kids who are on the team now. Just give it some time. They're still a very, very young team.
That's what I keep coming back to. Like, you can't put too much stock into this season, especially when you look at different teams and different situations. Like, Vancouver, it's got a lot of young kids, right? Their future is bright. If they're not contending this season, like, I think that's okay because of the abnormality and the way it's gone. You'd like to be able to say, hey, yeah, my team can overcome anything and battle through anything, right? You'd like that, but that's not always the case. And hopefully, like, they'll build some character going forward, having gone through this and kind of learn some things. Okay, this is what happened. Last season, it was fucked up. We didn't execute the way we wanted to. Let's change that going into next season, and let's get all on board. I'm not saying mail it in by any means. I'm just saying, like, this is a good chance for teams to examine the situation and say, okay, this is where we can get better at in this shortened season because everything's so crazy.
Hey, at the end of the day, let me play devil's advocate here, right? So you said that we're not going to put a lot of stock into the season, or you don't think you can put a lot of stock in this season as an owner of a team that's got a $85 million payroll.
Yeah.
They're going to put stock in this season regardless.
Oh, you
right?
have so, to as an owner, but I mean,
and that's the thing. You're going to see firings of unexpected circumstances because, you know, the team didn't start off hot. And that's the shitty part about this, right? Like, you had to get your guys ready to roll in a shortened period of time on short notice in a shortened off season, kind of shortened everything. Just everything's uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
You got to kind of bring everybody together and say, hey, let's perform, right? And if we're not performing right away in the first 15-20 games, you're going to see, you know, firings. You're going to see firings in the next 25, 30 games, whatever it is, right? And, these coaches aren't going to get a hall pass per se, right? And it's like, that's the shitty part about this. And it's weird. I mean, you just got to – you have to bring your own juice. And if you don't have the right guys in the locker room to juice your crew up, you're in a shitty situation because you're out there sleepwalking for two fucking periods, right? Like, and that's the God's honest truth. And it's the NHL, it's the NFL, whatever sport it is. If you don't come with juice and you're playing – the 0-16 Detroit Lions, you're gonna get fucking beat that day. I don't care who you are. It's the NFL, it's the NHL. Doesn't matter what sport you're in. You got to find guys in your locker room to bring the juice, and that's the shitty part about what's going on right now with no fans.
Yeah, and again, just with the Leafs thing we just talked about, like we just saw that, like the Leafs took their foot off the gas, let Ottawa back in the game, and then Ottawa took advantage. Like you can't let up. And I'm not saying give people a pass per se, but like a situation like Vancouver. Like, when you go into the season and you fall a little flat, I don't think you have to shit-can the coach and shit-can the GM at the end of the season and say, we expected to do better. I think you can examine this and look at it and say, look, we expected to do better. We're pissed. We're very pissed off. But you guys are going to keep your jobs. Now, if you start slow coming into next season, you better believe your ass is gone.
Now you're gone.
And we've already started looking at replacements. So I think you just got to have your ducks in a row. Like, it's too fluky of a situation and it's too volatile, I think, to make those types of rash decisions, which is why you saw like the Line A trade took so long to play out and the Pierre-Luc Dubois thing took so long to play out until literally like he showed that lack of effort on the ice and Torts benched him. And it was like, okay, this literally has to happen or it's become too toxic. There's a couple situations like you look at Calgary. I think people expected them to be much better. The Islanders had a slow start, and look at them now. They're second in the division right behind Boston. Boston's been running away with the damn thing. I'm scrolling through, like, Chicago. Chicago had a slow start, and look at them now. They're making some waves, and they're doing some damage a little bit. And, Arizona. Arizona's hanging in there and hanging tough, even though that whole scathing article. I haven't had a chance to – have you looked at that? You probably haven't looked at it. There's this whole scathing article about what's going on with the mismanagement in Arizona, and I can't wait to dive in because – That just seems to be a place that has been fucked since day one almost. They haven't had stable ownership. They haven't had stable leadership since Shane Doan left on the ice. And the coaching situation's been a nightmare there. Rick Tocchet's got his hands full there now trying to fill that void that's been kind of a mess. They had to, you know, tip it for a while, but like everything's always in flux there. It feels like there's no stability. And that's why they say the cliche, it starts at the top, right? If you got a solidified owner and solidified president, it just trickles down and everyone kind of falls in place. Now the Coyotes are in a situation like, what the fuck?
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, it's a shitty situation. It started, was it 2 years ago? 2 years ago when that whole thing started?
Yeah, you're seeing Steve Sullivan just got hired there, just signs that four-year extension, and then all of a sudden, now the other day, he's gone. They just terminated him.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a shit show there, and it's tough. I mean, it is a trickle-down effect. I mean, and all the good organizations, it starts from the top, and you can see it. They lead by example from here, and it just rolls downhill. And then, you know, it obviously, they're battling on the ice. Tocchet's a grinder, right, if we'll say that. So he's going to have that mentality on the ice. But still, I mean, you can't ignore what's going on upstairs ever.
Rick Tocchet, the gambler.
Oh, easy, easy. All right.
He might have taken the heat for, you know.
Whoa, what are you saying?
Nothing.
It's all water under the bridge now. You know, look, gambling's being embraced. Everybody's jumping on board. You know, we're happy with FanDuel. FanDuel's doing a great job for us. They're taking all my money, unfortunately, lately. But, you know, that's the fucking game we play.
That's Rick Tocchet, baby.
Gumpy, you of all people, with your gambling vice, should not be throwing stones.
I love Rick Tocchet, dude. I'm saying, you know, maybe.
All right, AQ.
He got thrown under the bridge.
We're wrapping things up here, and I know I've kind of made you wait a little bit. I just want to give you your chance here to vent on the situation that is the Pittsburgh Penguins, because it felt like after Burke and Hextall got hired, the boys were playing a little more inspired. They wanted to show the new bosses in town what they could do. People were playing for jobs, basically, and livelihoods, and then just completely deflated, poor. I shouldn't even – I shouldn't say poor. The guys were playing. They just couldn't put the puck in the net against Capitals. Capitals were on their bit of a schneid themselves, and they showed up with the juice the other night, and they put together a nice performance.
They brought the juice, there's no question. But, hey, you're at home. You came out skating them and for the first 10 minutes, and then they matched the intensity. They weathered the storm, and then it was a shit show from there. And my biggest issue is we're paying all this money to Letang. We're paying all this money to Malkin. And these guys are not fucking producing. They're not showing up. You're getting solid production, I guess, and they're skating well. They're obviously the best line on the ice night in and night out, night in and night out between Crosby and them. They're still not producing a ton of goals. The best line on the ice every night, Tanev, Bluger, and now we got Zach Aston-Reese back. It's a fourth line combo. I mean, and they're a grinder combo. They're the best line on the ice.
And they're playing third line minutes.
Power play stinks. Penalty kill stinks.
Goalies stinks.
Goalies are atrocious. You mentioned 906 average. Jari's at 830 or something.
Bad, yeah. He fucking dished one last night, fucking right to the Capitals. I can't believe they didn't score. It was incredible. What team are you going to jump on when the Penguins get knocked out again this year?
Whoa. I mean, it's way too early to be talking like that, Gump. Listen, it's way too early. Your stars are flirting with the same thing
the
right now.
Over there, Foxy's a little bandwagon guy. Mets a little bandwagon guy. Not us Pittsburgh.
Oh, I see the Tampa Bay Lightning parade last year out the window.
Let's go.
That is true.
Tampa Bay.
You know, I AQ says these words, and I think them about myself. I like to be as objective as I can, but I'll always be a diehard Penguins fan. But if Tampa Bay goes on another run, you will see AQ waving his flag out the window. You will see AQ marching down the streets of Tampa.
With the boys riding the flying V on my jet skis.
Oh man.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. But you know, when I look at it, I look at the team. The talent's not there. It's just not. And Sid's not what he once was. He's older now. Malkin's not what he once was. And I will say, I'm out on Letang.
I'm out on Chris.
I'm
out on him, too. I'm out on him.
What are you going to get for him?
For a long, long time in his career, you had to tolerate and live with his mistakes because he made up for it with his offensive play and his skating and his gifts. But, like, now at this point, the mental part of his game is so just deteriorated to the point where it's just, like, simple stuff he can't. He's making these boneheaded plays every night when it's just simple plays are the way out of it, and he refuses to play simple. And
Does he even have a goal this year?
I don't think so. But to your point, Gumby, he has no value right now. You can't try and trade him. He's had significant injuries in the past. I'm not going to say his salary is outrageous, but it's not up to the level of his play right now. So
unless you could dump him on a team for a playoff run. You know what I mean?
And then it's like
people will overpay at a playoff, right?
You're also at a loss because if you get rid of him, how do you make up for his minutes? Yeah. I think a lot of ways they need to fundamentally change how they play. And short of firing Mike Sullivan, I'm not saying they should do that, but like they need to really look at who they are as a team and find an identity, because you can't just continue to try and outskate everybody every night when you're not faster than everybody anymore.
Is Mario going to have to get behind the bench? Is that what it's going to take?
Mario loves sitting down in the wine cellar, fucking cracking uncorking a Merlot from 1966 and saying, obviously, okay, he loves gold medals, he loves Stanley Cups, and he loves wine. Mario ain't coming back to coach, though. He'll sit on the couch and watch, but he ain't saving him again in that respect.
They stink.
There you have it. That's the show. Thanks for rocking with us. As always, follow us on Twitter at That's Hockey Talk. Check out YouTube for clips at youtube.com/The Pat McAfee Show. I got a lot of people tweeting, is this full show ever going to go on YouTube? Eventually it will. We just don't have the resources or manpower to do that at the moment because it requires a lot of fine-tuning from old Billy Tubes back there, and he's already got a lot on his plate. We're looking at some other avenues and some other things in the future about how to make that work. Just, you know, stay patient. That's all we ask. Until then, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. And that's Hockey Talk.
Cheers.